we go on a Friday, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Stroph with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Producer Tiny Ants Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Joshy DiMaggio might join us at some point. We're going to get to him momentarily. Will Summers is here as well, hanging out with us on his final day as a college student. Will Summers graduates tomorrow, so congrats to Will. But if you're watching on the YouTube stream, and maybe you don't watch KBN, is the show I produce weekdays from 2 to 5, you might notice something a little bit different about me today. That's because I shaved my head. We raised on KBN on Wednesday about $5,000 for the MAC Fund against the fight against childhood cancer. So I shaved my head. I have a buzz cut now. But that's actually not the story anymore. I put buzz as the first thing on a rundown today. The buzz cut doesn't matter anymore. One Friday a month, so 12 times a year, we have a company-wide call for Good Karma Brands, which includes all of our teammates from across the country, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPN Cleveland, ESPN New York, ESPN LA, ESPN West Palm, ESPN Cleveland, ESPN Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. So for the NCAA tournament this year, our CEO and my co-host on Sunday Karma, Craig Karmazin, does a challenge every year. If you beat Craig in either the men's or women's NCAA bracket challenge, you are put into a drawing to win $1,000. And we just found out the winner of the $1,000, and it's the guy that just strolled in 2 minutes late to the show.
What's up?
Congratulations.
I want to repeat the question I asked you. How does it feel to be poor?
So here's my issue with you.
Yeah.
Everything's been turning up Josh recently.
Yeah, oh, it's a big time meme recently.
It sucks.
It sucks. But here's the thing, Will. Here's the thing, dude. What did Josh just do for you?
He bought me a Diet Coke.
Uh-huh. The hell'd you get me?
Well, I wasn't. Here's the thing. It was two for $4.50. I wasn't going to go over to the Dooskies and buy a whole extra Dooskies. I don't want to be carrying four sodas. They're going to think I'm crazy.
I would have drank a Diet Coke.
I didn't know you are a full-bodied drinker.
What?
You like full-flavored. You like full shug.
I do like full shug.
So it was two for $4.50. Will had bought me not too long ago a Diet Coke. I had it repaid him. So after I won $1,000, I said, I think I can spare $2 and a quarter on my guy.
So you guys got a good thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the DC boys.
You treat the guy that wins the lottery good before he wins the lottery.
What do you mean you treat him good before he wins the lottery? I've been treating him good.
No, you've been hit and go. Touch and go is what I was looking for.
Well, that is what you were looking
so
for.
So I want to take you through the exact of how, yeah, how this all took place.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because I usually jump on this meeting. I actually usually listen to it after the fact. We do recordings of it. It gets sent out.
You're an avid listen backer.
Yes. I rarely listen live just because we're doing this show a lot of times. It's my Friday, and after I'm done here, I'm pretty much done for the day. I wrap up a few things, and then I get to go home. So I don't want to spend time while I'm sitting here getting ready to leave on the phone call. So I'll usually probably listen to it like Saturday morning. Oftentimes I get up at like 5 a.m. There's no one else there. So I wasn't listening. I walked into our downstairs lobby-ish area that we have for all the studios. It's got like a sink to where we fill up my water. And I was filling up my water. And I hear Craig speaking upstairs, because that's where everyone watches the meeting. And I hear an eruption of just applauses. And I turn to the girl behind me, Rhea from WTMJ, and I go, what just happened? And she goes, I have no idea. And I go, huh, okay. And from the time it took me to walk 30 steps, I had like 10 text messages. And I was like, what is going on? And everyone, I got money bags sent to me. I can't believe it. I got woohoo.
You got from me, you've got to be effing kidding me.
Yes.
And then you responded, wait, what just happened?
Correct.
And I said, you just won a grand. And you said, oh, cool.
Yeah, because we entered in it, and I didn't win the tournament by any means. It was just simply a random person gets selected to win $1,000. And I said, hey, awesome. That's pretty cool. So I entered into both the men's and women's just to, I did very poorly. I didn't expect to ever win. And then, yeah, now I'm $1,000 richer.
Me and you for a second.
Yeah, what's up?
You think the headset had anything to do with it?
There has been questions that I've had in my head of I had a really good weekend. This might have gotten forgotten to be drawn. And because is this the first meeting post the tournament?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think maybe they forgot and said, hey, who had a good couple weeks here? Who would be deserving? I don't want to say it's supposed to be random. And it could just be good fortune because my great weekend at the draft, due to someone else's misfortune, was fortunate for me. I got put in a big spot. I performed well. And it was I wasn't supposed to be there. And now here I am.
You have to be.
What's up?
One of the most irritating human beings.
What do you mean?
On planet Earth. Go buy me a soda.
Why are you making this about him? This is Josh's win. You can just be happy for your friend. Like, this is awesome, Josh.
No,
great.
You're not.
You're not. You're annoyed. You just said he's the most irritating person ever because he wouldn't do something for you. You are so selfish. God.
Yeah, if you wanted to win, you should have just put the headset on, Stro.
Yeah. Hunter, I'm glad you're happy for me. Thank you for being happy for me.
You're welcome. I'm a good friend.
It's Mussolini's birthday coming up.
Oh, no.
We're going to Chicago. $1,000 helps a lot.
That does help a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Maybe our seafood dinner that we're having with some friends. I slept on the plastic. Say it's on me. Wow.
Wow. I mean, true upset that my buzz cut is not leaving the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It is hard.
How do you think I look?
You look fine. Okay. You have a decent hairline, and you don't have an oblong or odd-shaped head. So I think most men can pull off a decent buzz cut. I had one myself during the pandemic when you couldn't get haircuts.
Yeah.
And I just said, screw it. I'm just going with it and seeing how it goes. I liked it. And then I said, hey, I have a decently shaped head. You got a nice hairline where everyone can tell. The problem I had is when I went buzz, if you were too far away, you thought I was just bald or had a horseshoe. You have the good enough hairline there where you could tell it's on purpose. And then if somebody asks, you have the great conversation piece, much like my tattoo of, it was a fundraiser we're doing on the air. It was very fun. We raised like $5,000. Yep. So all in all, I mean, it's a win for you.
I would agree.
There's no big events coming up for you where hair is necessary. It's summertime.
Yeah, I don't think I have any. I have weddings to attend in the summer, and my hair should be back at least a little bit. But, like, also, there's a chance I just stick with it. Now, I'm going to let it grow out a little bit longer than it currently is.
Yeah.
I might just be a buzz cut guy now.
You certainly could be. It's fine.
Okay.
Buzz cut is kind of classic, too. Like, it's timeless. So. That does help.
My girlfriend's immediate reaction was, oh my God, it's cute.
You two are enablers. You guys are too positive to one another.
Me and my girlfriend or me and Hunter?
You and your girlfriend.
What do you mean?
She's just, in that spot, she has to feign irritation of, oh, I can't believe you.
She wasn't irritated.
I know. But you gotta make them feel it. You don't agree?
I mean,
I don't know how to take that sentence.
I think it's healthy like have a moment of like, what are you doing when the significant other does something a little dumb?
And she did. She texted me when I told her, hey, just
I got to be face to face. Text doesn't count. Got to be face to face.
I might have a fresh cut. And that's when we got the WTF text. What are you doing?
So interestingly enough, the reason I ended up with tattoos is because I suggested shaving my beard. To which that was met with like the most vehement no, because as you know, as somebody who's around me a lot, I say a lot of wild stuff. I do a lot of interesting things, and you sometimes just got to take them. You just live with them. And this was the first time I had actually received like a hard absolutely not. And I took that with like, it's probably good for relationship in the future of it to not do that. So then I just ended up with Homer permanently tattooed on my leg. So,
oh baby.
So it's all text golf to 800-990-3776. It is Gabe's fundraising event with the Mac Fund to fight childhood cancer.
When are they golfing? They were supposed to golf yesterday.
It's next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yes. It's something that started first on Scalzo and Brust. Ben Brust is the great connector here, which is wild. As the most selfish person I think we can all say we work with. He's great when it comes to charitable things. Not just this with Gabe, but other stuff as well. And we've, over the years, kind of turned it into a thing where every time on the time slot, usually the afternoons here, we raise a bunch of money. People are extremely generous, the listeners. And it really, it's some of the most fun I've had professionally here. Is doing the, it's going to cost $1,000 for X. Or we're going to slap Ben. We're going to cut Greg's hair. We're going to shave your head. I'm going to get tattoos. So, all in all, it's for good. You can't be, that's the nice thing we have is, well, we did it for the kids.
We did it for the kids, baby.
I mean, Gabe's the loser in all this.
Yeah, he lost his beard.
He looks totally different.
He looks like a different human being.
He looks like, I mean, so I've known Gabe 10 years now. I knew of Gabe, obviously, because I was just a fan of the station and had seen him. He looks like he's a child.
He looks way younger. He's almost 40, right?
Yes.
38, 39, something
his,
like that.
His face shape changed.
It did.
And maybe it's good for him to look younger, but his wife said she's not going to kiss him until he grows some of his beard back.
Oh, no.
She said she tried it out once, said didn't like it, said nope.
One smooch is all you get, Gabe.
Uh-huh.
Golf to 800-990-3776, your way to donate to the Ringer and the Mac Fund and everything cool that, Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson, and Greg Matzik.
I haven't made my donation yet. Some of my $1,000 will be going towards the Ringer. So thank you, Craig Carmison, for helping the Ringer event, which you already donate to, I'm sure.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Look at Joshy, good guy.
I mean, you can't publicly win $1,000.
Oh, and not do anything good with it. Just be like, yeah. Oh, that weekend in Chicago.
I got hammered.
Josh, where'd you get that new car?
That's like when you win like the 50-50 raffle at a charity event. It's like you have to just give the money right back. Like only getting in the 50-50 raffle to give the money back.
I've thought
about
this.
Great debate.
So the wedding I attended on Sunday did a 50-50 raffle,
which
I've never seen done before.
Love that.
Isn't that great?
Love that.
That's
awesome. So naturally, I'm like, here is $50.
Right, because it can go to a charity of their liking that they choose, or you could even do, hey, we're doing a 50-50 raffle. This is for our honeymoon.
That's exactly what
the other half is. And like someone like me, gambling involved, I'm in.
Exactly. So naturally, I put $50 for it and did not win.
No.
But I was thinking to myself, I was like, if I win, I will donate it all back except the 50 I put in. I want my $50.
So in that situation specifically, I would happily take my 50 back since they're getting money for nothing, essentially, other than giving out tickets.
Yeah.
I had a friend, it was something work-related, we had a 50-50, I believe it was at Broken Bat Brewery. They had a 50-50 there. It's like when they do the guest bartending charity fundraising that we do, and my friend won it, and it was decent. I think he ended up winning like $400-$500, and he just cut that in half and gave that. So, I mean, they won three quarters of that money. I think at that spot, that's fair. As long as you're giving, like, 50-50 is meant you get the 50%, mm-hmm. but especially when there's charity involved, you're like, well, do I really need all 400 or can I just take 200 and be happy?
Probably the latter.
Yeah.
But Joshy's got all grand, so good for him. Good for Joshy. We're happy for
big
him.
Big win.
Big win. All right. Speaking of not so big wins, Giannis watch continues as the Bucks offseason now in full swing. Not a ton of new reports in terms of what Giannis's future looks like, but maybe something to keep an eye on is the fact that Dan in San Antonio and the Spurs, Greg Popovich calling his legendary coaching career a day as he moves into the president of basketball operations role for the San Antonio Spurs and a head coaching opening now available in San Antonio. Now, Giannis signed off on Doc Rivers, as we know, as the head coach of the Bucks, but there, of course, are other options for San Antonio. Think of the guy he won a title with in Mike Budenholzer. Of course, he plays for the Greek national team. I'm just saying, the Spurs could certainly do something that makes Giannis go, I want to go to San Antonio. Now, this is just the first of many dominoes in which are going to fall. over the course of the next couple of months when it plays into what Giannis's future looks like. I still hold, and we talked about this at plenty at length, on Wednesday. It was what did we talk about it for? Half an hour, 40 minutes
at least.
On Wednesday's show. So if you missed any of our Giannis conversation, you can hit Mr. Irrelevant on the ESPN Wisconsin app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, wherever you watch our fine show, three times a week. I still think he'll be back. And again, to Josh's point he made on Wednesday, my argument isn't a strong one. It's literally blind faith. As I think about it further and further, Josh, the only other point I'd make is when you think of the guys Giannis has modeled his game after or, loved, right, and really respected, you think of guys that spent their entire career in one spot, right? Kobe Bryant, obviously, Giannis was a huge fan of Kobe's and obviously worked with him. Even after Kobe retired, they were super close until Kobe's death. And he spent his entire career in L.A. Dirk Nowitzki was the biggest international star when Giannis entered the league in the early 2010s. Giannis, obviously, loves Dirk Nowitzki. I'm sorry, I've got to pivot for a moment. We've got our guy Barry Sorrell in the YouTube chat. That is the father of Packers draft pick Baron Sorrell.
Is that really who that is?
Yeah, that's my understanding. He just commented on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. Packers Nation 99 will shine. Barry Sorrell chiming in.
I've seen Barry Sorrell comment a few times throughout the week, and I couldn't figure out if that was just somebody duping his father, if they were trying to dupe the player.
I'm going to give Barry our phone line, 844-770-3776. Barry, if you were free, give Hunter a call.
I can't do that right now.
Oh, your phones are down.
Yeah, phones are down. Doing a little bit of a tech switchover. So, yeah,
that's
no
right.
Phone calls. You guys should be able to
call
put that.
Will,
could send him a vMix call. We could do that. and have him on video.
I want to talk to Barry.
You should be able to run it. Can we run that through Milwaukee?
I think so, yeah. I've got Will on standby. I gave Barry the second number, 800-990-3776. I want to talk to Barry. Barry, give us a call about Baron Sorrell, his son, who was drafted by the Packers in the fourth round of last week's NFL draft. Baron Sorrell obviously was in Green Bay, got to walk the stage, got to dap up the commissioner. One of the best moments of the whole weekend in Green Bay. I was at the draft for that moment, which was really neat to see in person.
He and Matthew Golden became instant fan favorites.
Oh, 100%.
Those two moments that those two guys had were things that not only the Packers fans there, but the Packer fans watching are going to remember for a long time.
No doubt. So you vote Giannis where next season? In Milwaukee or out of Milwaukee? You don't need to pick a team if you think it's one
of the
other.
I still think it's most likely that he remains with the Bucks. But I do think it is a 50-50 proposition. I don't think it's... I heard Wilde and Tosh talking about it, and they said they were unsure. And it feels like Giannis hasn't left any nuggets about potentially leaving. But if he left, there's plenty of things we could point to that would indicate, yeah, that was a guy who made it clear he wanted to win, he wanted to keep winning, and that was his plan. So if he publicly asked for a trade, none of us can be surprised because we know how passionate he is about winning.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to decide if it's better for the Bucks to trade him or not in the long run. It's really hard to parse out because they have traded basically every pick away, and not any of the picks they own are so far in the future. You add the Dame situation, like, for lack of a better term, the Bucks are effed.
I would agree.
And this is where we just have to trust John Horst to pull the right strings and hopefully at least put together a team that can be, we don't want to be the Herb Cole Bucks. There's a reason the Herb Cole Bucks and they moved on and they reinvented the franchise. As great, all-time great and important to the city as Herb Cole is, like, I don't think Homer always harps on this. Mm-hmm. Like, he's extremely important. He donated his own money for the Fiserv Forum to get built after he was basically told he should sell the team. I mean, that's just a guy that loves basketball, loves the city, and loves it being here, and loves the Bucks being here. So I don't want that to sound as derogatory as it may have in that moment, but we don't want to be the 7-8 seed competing and playing games that are one and done and getting blown out by the Cavs. Mm-hmm. Or like, that's just a situation that I think we would, as much as we say we want to be in the playoffs, we watch the Bucks suck for so long, year two or three of that, we're really sick of it.
No doubt. I mean, it was... I don't even want to reflect on that. I want to more look at the future, because I think something with Giannis that we have to keep in mind is he's only 30 years old, right? Like, he's still got some tread left on the tires, and he proved us this year he's still capable of playing his best basketball. And I think if you have Giannis on your team, you're still part of the conversation always. Now, the Damian Lillard thing, which Eric Name and Sam Amick reported yesterday in The Athletic, is if he would not have gotten hurt, the two sides were going to discuss him leaving Milwaukee after this season, unless they won a title. And now that he's hurt, can't really get him out of Milwaukee, given rules, and obviously who's going to trade for a guy that's not going to play next year, right? So you're going to be responsible for that contract, which is interesting. So we will see as we continue to roll on. And Giannis watch, it's something we'll talk about every day, you know, for the next couple months, I would imagine, when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Let's get to the Green Bay Packers, because lots of news to clean up on. Also want to dive into in a bit. I have created, it's short, but it's an off-season checklist now that we're post-draft that I want to get to when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. But the news yesterday,
I just want to interrupt really quick.
Is there something going on in the market hall?
No. I just got a request for my Venmo and to send it over. And when I opened it to send over my user ID, I noticed, and haven't gotten a chance to mention this to you, that for the draft on Friday, we stopped at Starbucks and I just picked up the tab for everyone's drinks. And then you sent me a $7 Venmo for the coffee,
I did it instantly.
Which is very nice of you, but I have an established rule. Anything less than $20, I don't want your money.
Okay, so send it back.
I already put it in my bank account. But to me...
I don't want it, but I'll take it if you send it.
Right. It's too late. Pretty crazy. We were doing rent, and it was part of it, and I just included it. But to me, it's very nice of the sender. I think somebody who requests something less than $20, that's someone I'm like, all right, I have to question our friendship. You send regularly sub $10
amounts? Okay, hold on. No. No, okay. Never, actually.
Okay.
I'm actually firmly a believer in the same thing. It all evens itself out. I think what happened there was, full transparency, just honest talk real quick.
Yeah.
I was a little hungover.
Yeah.
It was earlier than I'm used to.
Yes.
It was like 6:15 a.m.
Yeah.
And I think I was just like, he bought my coffee, I'll just finish.
Yeah.
I just need something.
So you are much on the same, where if it's
definitely.
Like, we go to the bar and get one beer, and I pay for it.
Shoot, no.
If we get
three beers.
Yeah, it's like I'm never looking. Now, if we spend 6 hours at the bar and it's running my tab,
yes,
and I've spent $260 on beers, then I would look at you and be like, hey, can you send some over?
Yeah, agreed.
But yeah, if I'm spending less than, I mean, it's probably, honestly, I can get as generous
bucks.
As, yeah, like, yeah. Like over 50 is where I start going, yeah. But I would hope the person at that point says, I'll send you some cash for this.
I would agree.
Like, at that point, like, but under $100, I'm really not looking at the other person and going, I'll get you back when what comes around goes around type of thing.
Yep. See, I fully agree.
I don't. Every time I'm going to send the money, and I don't like being in someone's debt with that stuff. So I don't want somebody that could be.
Do you request then?
No, I won't request, but like if they don't, I'm kind of like,
that's fair. Yeah. So if you're somebody who just sends it and it's your habit and you are uncomfortable with it, the worst is I have a friend who she may remain nameless, and it is not Mussolini. But a friend of ours will regularly request things for under $5 and I just straight up decline them.
I think that's fair.
I'm not going to send you $4.
No.
Because the next bar we go to, I'll probably just buy your drink then or in the future. So it's always very confusing to me to get something like that where I take it as a point of pride. I'm going to decline your sub $10 request if you send me the request, and I'm never going to send it either.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page there. I'm sorry. I got very distracted. These headphones make my head itchy with short hair.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I didn't think
that
would happen.
Gotta adjust to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll build up a tolerance. It'll be okay.
We're having fun. All right, the news yesterday for the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, May 1st, of course, so the decision had to be made on both of their first-round picks from the 2022 draft class, whether or not the Packers would pick up their fifth-year option. That, of course, Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. They do pick up one. They do not pick up the other, as Devontae Wyatt's fifth-year option picked up for the 2026 season. Quay Walker's is not, but Brian Gutekunst's been pretty open about the idea of keeping him on their roster long-term, meaning they're going to not give him the fifth-year option and hope to extend him to a second contract when we are looking at, you know, the dollar sign, right? I think what the Packers would like is a longer-term commitment for less money per year than what the fifth-year option would be in 2026, but a longer commitment and more money overall, obviously, than just the 1 year at about, I think it's somewhere over $14 million, just under $15 million. And I think Daryl, you know, chimes in on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat, says, I don't know why Quay was denied of the fifth-year option. Past 2 years, he's been stepping it up in defense. I agree with you. While it's been, I don't know if inconsistent's the word I want to use, but it's the word I will use here on Quay Walker. He's been relatively inconsistent in terms of his level of play, but all in all, he seems to have stepped it up, right? He does seem to have taken it to a next level sometimes.
I can answer the question.
They want a longer-term commitment, is what it seems like.
Yes, and that number is high because it involves edge rushers, too. So edge rushers who play outside linebacker and inside linebackers get those numbers combined to make the total number.
Yeah, I think it's like 14.8 or 14.9.
Yeah, it's on the higher end. It's a number that more than you would like to pay him. So if that number was just traditionally inside linebackers, the Packers might have actually done it. But as we know, an edge rusher, a Micah Parsons or someone who's playing that typical 3-4 spot, Von Miller, for instance, made a career at that spot. Those guys get paid 20 plus, 30 plus million dollars, so that inflates the number.
Yeah.
I do think it's risky with having not an extension for Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker, as of now, a free agent after his fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they plan to have an extension, and it's probably they're trying to figure out, because Quay Walker's agent is saying on the open market, we would get XYZ, the security of, you know, what the Packers do. They give you a lot of signing bonus. They incentivize it that way. They don't guarantee a ton, but you do get a chunk of money that I would imagine would be substantially more than even the fifth-year amount number would be.
Yeah, I think I think they'll get a deal done, but I would imagine not this year.
Yeah.
It could be during the season like they did with Rashawn Gary a few years back.
I do think it's a priority because I think Quay's athleticism at that position, as many as boneheaded mistakes he's made and at times has not played well, I think he turned a corner last season before getting injured.
Yep.
And I think the combination of familiarity and rare athletic traits at that position, you can easily make the case for this guy's best days are still ahead of him. And there's probably many of them because, I mean, he can run. He can cover sideline to sideline. It's just sometimes he isn't the most, his instincts aren't the best, which some guys are Luke Kuechly and can tell you every single play where it's going beforehand, and some guys are more read and react. But I also think you can improve that with the more time you spend in the film room, the more time you spend on the field, the practice field, all that.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And obviously, if you're Jeff Hafley, if you're Matt LaFleur, if you're Brian Gutekunst, anybody in that building that's evaluating your roster and evaluating the talent of that position, I think you look at Quay Walker, you look at Edgerrin Cooper, who's still got 3 years left in his rookie deal, and you go, I'd be very happy.
Yes.
If that's my linebacker core for the next 3 years.
Yes. Extremely happy.
Yeah. And hopefully onward, right? I mean, I still think both of those guys, to your point, their best days are ahead of them. So the Quay Walker thing, I am not worried about it, right? I think this is very much so a, we're not picking it up because you're in our long-term plans. And I think Devontae Wyatt could ultimately play his way into their long-term plans. But now he's under contract for the next two seasons with them picking up the fifth-year option. He's a guy where inconsistent is probably the right word, but he also, the opportunity hasn't been there for him. He's only started five games in his 3 years on the roster, and obviously he was playing some of his best ball in the first couple weeks of the season last year until week four when he was injured and he got an ankle injury. He's a big boy. Mm-hmm. A big boy with an ankle injury isn't going to be as productive as a big boy without an ankle injury. Trying to wreak some havoc on the inside there for the defensive line. So I like Devontae Wyatt. I like some of the things I've seen from him. It's just this year, if he can stay healthy, I'd like to see more of him.
You're looking for consistency and the less of the disappearing act, because at times he looks virtually unstoppable. He's incredibly disruptive. He's getting into the backfield. He's affecting the run plays. He's pushing his guy back into the quarterback, or he's getting to him. So he's the type of guy where this might be the best he ever plays in the NFL, but he's worth keeping around and figuring out, because he is that talented and can be that disruptive. It's just you would like to see it more consistently.
Yeah, I would agree. So we will see on that, but I got to be honest with you, though, Joshy. Last thing on the fifth-year option from yesterday is I thought it would be the other way around, to be real honest with you. I thought Quay Walker would be picked up on the fifth-year option and Devontae Wyatt would not be. And I don't think that indicates whether or not Devontae Wyatt's in their long-term plans. I think it was more so it's kind of a prove-it year for him. And Quay Walker, you know, they want to push out the idea of a contract extension, but they probably don't view him as worth $15 million in 26.
I thought it was the same until I realized early in this offseason that that number included edge rushers, and it was an inflated.
Yeah, I think it's about $2 million, roughly, higher than what Devontae Wyatt got.
Yeah. So once I realized that, it became clear to me that, oh, they'll probably just try and work on an extension.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Okay, so as we get further into the offseason here for the Green Bay Packers, now with the NFL draft in the books, I have put together a short checklist, if you will, of Packers' priorities this offseason now as we get closer and closer to the NFL season. The schedule release coming in just under 2 weeks, so we will know whether or not the Packers actually play in Ireland. We will know whether or not what the Packers' schedule looks like. When do they play the divisional opponents? And it's a tougher schedule this year for Green Bay, given their divisional draws. So that's coming up in a few weeks. But as we roll into rookie camp, which starts today in Green Bay, the OTA is coming up in the next couple of weeks, and then ultimately training camp at the end of July. Here is the off-season checklist I have put together for the Green Bay Packers over the course of the next few months. First up on that checklist, to the surprise of nobody, you've got to make a decision on Jaire Alexander. Whether you're cutting, trading, or keeping on a lower deal, will Jaire Alexander be on this roster in 2025 or not? I think the sooner they can make this decision, the better, because it allows you to evaluate the cornerback room for what it is sooner. I'm for bringing Jaire back. I've been pretty clear on that. I like the cornerback room they have, right? Carrington Valentine, who we spent a bunch of time with last week in Green Bay. Nate Hobbs, who Carrington Valentine came up with, and they trained together in the offseason joining that room, and of course Keyshawn Nixon. I like the room as it is, but I like it a little bit better if Jaire Alexander is in it. But even if he's not in it, I think it allows that room, those coaches, to focus in on what you do have and what you are working with for the upcoming season. So I think the number one priority this offseason on my checklist for the Packers is you've got to make a decision on Jaire Alexander. Fair number one on this list?
Yes. Partially, selfishly, because I want the saga to be over, whatever it ends up going.
If he's back, is the saga over?
I think in terms of the questioning.
Sure.
What Jaire decides to do throughout the course of the season, I think everybody on both sides entering the mix is with a big who knows. But it at least puts it to bed. He's coming back. He's going to be a part of the team. And then you go from feeling fine to good about the secondary and the defensive backs to really good about them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the Packers properly rate how much it could benefit them to have a guy who's trying to play for another contract. If they're able to come to a reconciliation and he's thinking, bleep these guys, but I'm going to play my ass off because I want to make another $60 to $70 million totally. Before my time in the NFL. That's a really valuable guy to have on your team.
Totally agree. My number two priority is extending offensive lineman Zach Tom. You've got a big offseason coming after this season in terms of free agents. Think about that 2022 draft class. Your starting left tackle, Rashid Walker, will be a free agent. As of now, Quay Walker will be a free agent. I imagine that will change. Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, both of those wide receivers, a free agent after this season. Sean Ryan, your starting right guard, a free agent. And Kingsley Enagbare, one of your edge rushers, a free agent after this season. So a lot of decisions to be made when it comes to this draft class after the 2025 season. There's nobody more important to lock up long-term than your current starting right tackle, who the Packers think can play all over the offensive line, in Zach Tom. I would make that priority number two, Joshy.
Yes, I want that done probably even before.
You want that done yesterday?
Yeah, I want him to be, I think, the absolute world of Zach Tom. I think he's talented enough and valuable enough to play anywhere. I think he could easily play left tackle had he wanted to, but it's one of those things where you don't want to screw up the good thing you got going. Mm-hmm. He's really good. I mean, he shut down TJ Watt. He eliminated him from the game. That's the type of guy that it wasn't just a fluke. He played injured all last year and was disappointed with his performance, and he was still one of the better right tackles in all the NFL.
He is... I mean, no disrespect to Elgton Jenkins when I say this, because I think they're 1A, 1B. But Zach Tom's their most important offensive lineman. And probably their best one.
Yeah, I think if you wanted to get Brian Bulaga, Mark Tauscher nerdy on it, you say a guy who can snap the ball, play left guard, and play left tackle is going to be your most valuable.
But I think Zach Tom can do all those, too.
Yes. We just haven't seen him do all those things. I think the most talented, by far, is... Right now, because Elgton Jenkins is on the downswing of his career, I still think he has a lot of good NFL left in him.
Agreed.
But, yeah, Zach Tom is that dude.
Zach Tom is that dude. So extend offensive lineman Zach Tom is priority number two on my offseason checklist for the Packers. This one, I don't know. I don't love my phrasing on it, but you'll understand what I mean when I say it. Number three priority on the checklist is discover your wide receiver hierarchy. Right, figure out who your dogs are, but also with this room, and I can't overstate my excitement for training camp and ultimately the beginning of the season when it comes to that room in particular, because I think, you know what you got to a point in Romeo Doubs. You think you know what you got to a point in Jaden Reed. I don't think Dontavian Wicks has been unlocked yet, and now you add these two rookies in Matthew Golden and Savion Williams into the room. Matt LaFleur is going to have a lot of fun with these guys. I think all five of them are going to get snaps in the regular season. So don't get me twisted when I say hierarchy. But I think understanding situationally who your guys are and then what kind of fun can you have with some of these pieces like Jaden Reed and Savion Williams? How can you utilize them differently? Whether that be the jet sweeps that Matt LaFleur fell in love with a few years ago. Whether it be lining one of those guys up in the backfield for, you know, a better option out of the backfield, whether that be, you know, whatever kind of route. So I just think the creativity is going to be so important with this room from Matt LaFleur. But figuring out who your dudes are, so discovering your wide receiver hierarchy prior to week one, I view that as a pretty big priority for this Packers team this offseason.
I don't know how much I can call it a priority because I think it's going to change.
Which is okay.
Yes. I think we're going to start out and the hierarchy is going to be some combination of 1, 2, 3 is going to be the veterans. Matthew Golden's probably going to be interchangeable at that third option. And then as the season goes on and hopefully he cements himself as a guy who knows the offense, knows where to be, and just knows how to be a professional, I think the perfect situation is Golden ends the season as the prohibitive one. He's the guy you're looking at 8 to 10 targets a game. Who knows how effective each of those are, but he's a guy that's a focal point of the offense. Then you have Jaden Reed, and slightly behind that, probably Dontavian Wicks, because I do think Savion Williams, the comparison to like the Percy Harvin or Cordarrelle Patterson, you do have to be creative with those guys, but that's also those guys, that type of player typically doesn't pop right away. Those are the type of guys you kind of have to figure out what they do best as the season goes on, put them in advantageous situations. And not all the time are you able to put your players, like, I mean, Matt LaFleur kind of admitted He did a bad job of getting Jayden Reed involved enough down the stretch. Now,
yeah.
Defenses did change their approach to playing him because I said he can't beat man, so wherever he lines up, he's going to be playing man coverage. I think Savion Williams' best days are probably going to come 2-3 years down the road, but he's a big, talented guy that can do stuff with the ball in his hand, so you're going to figure out ways to get him involved wherever you can.
And my final priority on the checklist, number four, is similarly to the wide receiver position, but a little different. Who is your front seven dog defensively?
Can I make my own for this one?
Sure.
And I think this might should have been priority two. Make Lucas Van Ness good.
Make Lucas Van Ness great. Not again.
I think good is I'd be happy with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that falls into this, though, as well.
Yes.
Just when you look at that front seven, I think you have some good players there, right? I think Rashawn Gary is a good, not great player. I think Edgerrin Cooper last year showed us some really good things. How do you get him to be great? Quay Walker, who we talked about earlier in the fifth-year option, not getting that, but will likely get a contract extension. How do you make him into a beast in the middle, right? A guy that's leading the team in tackles type guy. And is a disruptor and can do a little bit of everything. I think in the front seven, there was so much disappointment in terms of getting after the quarterback last year. Lucas Van Ness is a great example by Joshy of a guy who just didn't take that second-year step. Can he do it in year three? You hope. But I think discovering your front seven dog, who is going to be in charge of getting after the quarterback and creating chaos and being a disruptor, that should be the biggest priority outside of the Jair Alexander decision for the defense. So just to recap, my four things on the Packers offseason checklist. Number one, make a Jair Alexander decision. Number two, extend offensive lineman Zach Tom. Number three, discover your wide receiver hierarchy. And number four, who is your front seven dog heading in to 2025?
You just wanted to say dog.
Give me your best dog.
Dog.
Will, give me your best dog. Hunter, give me your best dog.
Dog.
Oh, that was good. That was good by Hunter. All right, there we go. Plenty of reaction flowing in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. Daryl. Nugget Tears. That's a great name. Talk about the wide receivers. Versatile offense. We have a lot of smaller, fast guys. They got to be hungry, and Dobbs has to catch everything. And the good news is about Romeo Dobbs, who I think this will likely be his final season as a Packer. Unless he just develops into an absolute stud and wants to remain in Green Bay. But after some of the things that happened last year, I would guess that this will be Dobbs' final year in Green Bay. You know, I've used the term security blanket a lot when it comes to the Packers wide receivers. And that Love needs one, right? Needs that go-to guy that Rodgers and Favre seemingly always had. It looked like Love's first year as a starter, 2023. Romeo Dobbs was probably the front runner in that conversation. Right. When he was in trouble, that was the guy he lofted it up to. And to Romeo's credit, that guy does have great hands. I mean, he does catch a lot of the things thrown in his direction, even if it's a 50-50 ball. I just don't know that he's that guy anymore. I still think he can catch the football. I just don't know that he's the security blanket. I think that might be a role for Tucker Kraft going forward.
Yes. That to me makes the most sense. And hopefully that ends up being Matthew Golden in the future, seeing as
right.
what was committed towards him. And I don't want to pat myself on the back for this.
Oh, here we go.
When we went into the season with he's the number one wide receiver last year, my concern was he's a fine receiver, but he does nothing great.
Mm-hmm.
He's not explosive. It's going to shorten and condense the offense. He's not going to be getting open downfield. He's going to function best in the intermediate areas. He is quite proficient at contested catches, but I think it's because he's been catching contested passes his whole life because he doesn't get very open. He's not a separator. That's not something that comes naturally to him. I do think he has great hands, and I would love for him to be a factor in the offense, but I think if he doesn't meet the challenge of the two new wide receivers plus the two other guys that are already there that we've determined as like pretty much established members of the wide receiver core, he very quickly can become a distant fifth or sixth option. Because if he decides to not show up or not give full effort in camp or practice 1 week, I don't think the Packers won't need him.
That's true.
And that's an interesting spot for him to be in. The offense seemingly should be fine without him. It would be great to have him, but either you get with the program or you get out of here.
I love that point because, again, you're going to get sick of me saying this over the course of the next few months, but I'm so excited to see what this offense is about, right? These wide receivers, it's a stacked room right now in terms of the competition. The tight ends, I'm very excited about having both of them healthy in Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. The offensive line seems to upgrade or to have been upgraded this offseason with the signing of the new left guard Banks, and obviously the drafting in the second round of Belton, and you have a first round pick from last year. You're eager to get into the lineup. I'm boiling over with excitement for this offense. But again, that leads me to the point of Jordan Love will be out of excuses. And obviously last year injury was the excuse, but for Jordan Love, who is being paid like a top level NFL quarterback, he has the pieces around him like a top-level NFL offense. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of excuses for Jordan Love if he is not a top 10 and even maybe top 5 quarterback in the NFL in 2025, because he's got an offensive-minded head coach and a creative offensive-minded head coach and play caller in Matt LaFleur. He's got a bunch of weapons, speed, size, versatility at wide receiver. He's got two good tight ends who we're hoping make a big jump in year 3. And he's got a pretty darn good offensive line after some of the investments made this offseason. So Jordan Love, I think, out of excuses this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's a lot for Matt LaFleur to figure out. It's also a big year for him, because I think if the offense falls flat, people are going to really start looking at Matt LaFleur, which I think might be a little early undo. I think he has an established history as a great play caller and a pretty damn good head coach. But the options with the way the running game ended the season and how it looked at many points throughout the season, you could pretty easily point to Dontayvion Wicks was dropping the ball a lot. Romeo Dobbs legit wasn't showing up for work. Jaden Reed became a secondary third option in the offense. And it just didn't seem like the offense was married up. So he's got to prove a lot. And Jordan Love also, if there's guys wide open, you got to hit them. Luckily for us, Matthew Golden has a long established history of having not so accurate quarterbacks.
That's true.
And
he still makes the catches.
If you watch his tape and not just his highlight tape, you'll see him coming back to the ball a lot. Perfect. Jordan Love can only throw him a time or two. Maybe he'll still make the catch. Because that was... There's plenty of times throughout where you can make cases, you can point to injuries, you can point to performance of the wide receivers, but frankly, a lot of the time, he just wasn't good enough. He was fine, not good enough.
Dude, here's something that I've actually... Hey, brother.
Dude.
Hell yeah, bro.
Dude. Let me tell you something about... I've been thinking about it a lot recently, and I haven't said it out loud yet. This is how my brain works, man. I think about the Packers way too much. Ever since the Packers drafted Matthew Golden last Thursday, I've been thinking about... Do you remember the opening play? I think it was against the Bears. Jordan Love's first game as the starter. Do you know what I'm talking about? The very first offensive play?
No.
It was a fly route that Christian Watson ran, and they just bombed it on the first play of the season.
That was the first play of his career against the Vikings.
Oh.
Yes.
So that was 2022 with Rodgers.
He dropped a Rodgers touchdown, but they did it again against the Lions on the road on Thanksgiving.
Yes. Okay. So that's the play I'm referring to. And I know Christian Watson's out. They've got a faster receiver.
Yeah.
They've got a dude faster than Christian Watson. First play of the year, I don't care who they're playing. I think they got to do it. Just to be like, hello NFL, this is Matthew Golden, hello NFL, this is our offense.
I can tell you for certain, everyone's going to be expecting Josh Jacobs.
On the first play?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I'm saying, just do it. Right? Give me a fly route Matthew Golden down the sidelines, first play of his NFL career.
It's screaming play action, go deep to Golden.
Yes. But I want the exact same script of that game with Watson, his first game of his career, and then Lions on Thanksgiving with Love. I want that play first play of the year offensively, play action, Golden down the sideline. Even if it's an incomplete pass, just take the shot.
Little two-man concept.
Show us his speed. Yeah. Get Packers fans excited for the season that's to come with him. I just think it is an amazing idea by me. Pat myself on the back there.
you're not the first person to go, hey, throw it deep on the first play.
But it's Alex Strope, like, so he thinks he is.
There's people who, I mean, I think we've probably all gotten pretty good at it, where, especially with Mike McCarthy, you could call the shot play, like, plays before it was coming. Back when they used to run that one to Jordy Nelson all the time. Like, you would see the setup coming and the situation and go, uh-oh, here it comes, because it would typically be, like, second and short from their side. And they go, well, I think we can get 2 yards, so why don't we try and get 80 instead?
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, I think I've gotten pretty good at predicting when LaFleur is going to take shots. It's just, Jordan Love seemed to have, through points in the season, not pulled the trigger. You'd see him rear back and then kind of look elsewhere, which I think is why we had to do the whole sling it thing and the injury and all that, where I think we could probably, with enough of this offense, we'll be able to see those coming.
Yeah.
I'd like more explosives.
So rookie camp underway in Green Bay. And sorry, I'm just doing some cleanup over here as some of the rookies are talking.
Mop it up, brother.
Mopping it up, bro. As the some of the rookies talking to reporters in Green Bay, Matthew Golden called his grandma his best friend, and she influenced him to wear number 22. He never asked Malik Willis for jersey number 2.
Yeah, I mean, Malik's a veteran. I think it's much better as a young guy to just take your number and then figure it out moving forward.
But number 22 is pretty nasty. And I don't mean that as a compliment on a wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't love it. He was 81 first?
He was 81 at first, which I don't love that either on him. He should be single digits because of Fastius. It's going to be hard to see 2 numbers. It's going to be hard to make him out. He's flying out of the field.
It's going to be confusing. I'm not a big numbers guy. I honestly don't pay all that much attention to players' numbers. I do notice the extremely out-of-place numbers, though, when you got, like, you know, a defensive tackle with a number 1, that always will be like, well, that's an interesting play. And then, like, the running backs with some of their, like, some of them are in the 40s. Take that off.
Yeah.
That, to me, annoys me.
I totally agree. Spencer Havener, remember him?
Sure do.
Yeah. What position was he, technically? Linebacker / tight end?
I think so.
Was it
Havener or Havener?
It might have been Havener. I don't know. Regardless, that guy was sweet. Wasn't very good, but he was sweet.
Sweet.
He wasn't very good, but he was sweet. All right. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time now for What We Learned, which is presented by our friends at Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Door County Distillery, located in Carlsbad. If you're heading up to Door County this summer, make sure you stop in. Do the tours. Do the tastings. It's a really cool tour. I've been on it a few times. They bring you all around the distillery, all around the building. They explain how the product is made. They explain how the bottling and canning is done. But also, they bring you into the basement, which they claim is haunted. So if you're up in Door County, you got to check it out. It's very cool. Door County Distillery. Also, I was having a little bourbon last night.
Wow.
And of course I was having a little bourbon Thursday. Well, I got my head shaved, and I was like, ooh. I need some of the good stuff tonight.
Take
I've earned it. So I had a little Door County Distillery bourbon last night, which is just my favorite. You can find it wherever great local liquor is sold. And you can use their tool on their website, too. If you're looking for something specific, it'll tell you the retail location nearest you that has it. So check it out, DoorCountyDistillery.com.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
After being on the run for a few days in Pennsylvania, the Delco Pooper has been apprehended.
I don't know what that means, Josh.
Great name.
The Delco Pooper is a woman who, during a traffic dispute, parked her car in an intersection, got out of it, bent over, spackled the hood of somebody's car, and then went back, got in her car, and
drove.
Wait,
when you say spackle, does that mean she climbed on the car and pooped on it?
Nope, she just kind of put her butt out, bent over, and
dookied on a car.
Yes, and it wasn't solid.
So it was like a painted buckshot. Just
yes.
Good term.
If you put in Delco Pooper, you can find the video and the aftermath that she left on this poor person's car. You can also see her perp walk, where after she was apprehended, there was cameras, crews following her, getting into the car to go to the police station. She had a big smile on, seemed quite proud of her work, and then just offered up a, I have a condition.
What?
Yeah. She got mad at somebody, pooped on their car, and drove away.
How long do you go to jail for that?
So she was, she met a various amount of, there was disorderly conduct, sure. and there was actually like maybe disposing like of waste
public
on
indecency,
a highway,
yeah.
The public nudity, yeah.
yeah, public indecency. So they threw the book at her. They don't take lightly to just dumping on somebody's
All right,
car.
Just real quick roundtable, because I'm actually going to seed my What We Learned time today. I want to get the whale. I want to get the hunter. I just want to go around the room. I'm going to influence my decision before I ask you the question. Kind of respect it.
Love it.
Baller.
Insane, but I get it.
yeah, but I get it, he says. Insane, but I get it. Good call, Hunter. All right, Will, you got one? You perked up when we brought up What We Learned.
Yeah, I do have one. I learned how to do my taxes. I did my taxes last night for the first time.
Will.
Yeah, I know. A couple weeks late.
Did you file for an extension?
No.
Oh, William.
It's certainly a good thing you took to a public platform where it will live forever that you were late.
All right, real quick.
Did you pay a late fee?
No.
Real quick.
I didn't know I was supposed to.
Did you use one of those online services, free advertising?
Yes.
Took you, what, 20 minutes?
Less, 10.
Yeah.
Super easy.
Super easy.
How?
If you have one job, it's super
easy.
Yeah,
why do people stress about this so much? It's so easy.
Well, because they buy house, they have kids.
True.
You did it 2 weeks late.
I didn't know I was supposed to do it.
What?
What do you mean?
What does that mean?
Well, usually, like, my parents do it, and then I went home last week, and they were like, did you file your taxes? I started laughing because I thought they were joking, but they were being dead serious. And then they got really upset with me because apparently I was supposed to do them, like, 2 weeks ago.
All right. Before we get to Hunter, who actually has an incredible What We Learned. He told me what it was before the show. Round of applause for Will. Graduating college tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations, Will.
Appreciate it.
We're proud of you. You're not going anywhere, is my understanding. You're going to be hanging with us still?
Yep, hanging here.
All right, cool. Good. I think your Will's Week in Review, by the way, that you do on Wednesdays, I think that's the reason you're hanging out. You seem very proud of your work every week.
So
you can't give that up yet, right?
No, I just like hanging out, talking some ball. But
Are you a ball knower?
Yeah, I would say so.
He told me about the plights of being a ball knower. With NHL and NBA playoffs going on and late NBA tips.
You know what's cool?
And MLB games.
So I flipped on a hockey game that would have been Tuesday night. And, you know, we're still organizing the apartment because we just moved.
Let me guess, hockey's fun.
No, hockey is fun. That's not what I was going to say, though. I turned on the TV last night and my girlfriend goes, can you turn on the hockey game? Actually, I don't want to watch basketball. I was like, hell yeah. And we turned on that, who are the Kings playing? I don't remember. Oh, the Oilers.
Isn't that Kings supposedly your favorite team, the Oilers?
That's correct, yes. Yeah, I'm an Oilers fan.
You know Connor McDavid and...
End of list.
Yeah.
There was four goals in the first 4 minutes. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Playoff hockey, cool. Playoff hockey rocks.
Yeah, it does.
I've always known that. It's just some years I don't get as into it. Yes. This year I think I'm into it. Because my girlfriend wants to watch it, which is great.
I have fallen out with hockey. I watched the Blackhawks for most of my life. And then just sort of once I started working here and there's no one to talk about hockey with and there's no reason for me to have hockey knowledge.
Sure.
That's when it kind of died out for me.
Are you not a Blackhawks fan anymore?
I still am, and okay. I'll still watch them. I'll still see.
So I am the only non-Blackhawks fan on the panel.
Yeah, they are very bad.
Because Hunter is a diehard Blackhawks fan. Will is from Illinois. I assume you're a Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, I go to a couple games a year, too.
Nice.
My first ever jersey was a Chris Chelios jersey.
Nice.
Wisconsin legend.
Yes.
Indeed.
But my parents, was when I was playing youth hockey, my parents got me... You need practice jerseys, or as they listed it, just a jersey. So they went out and brought me Chris Chelios jersey, and then I had to wear that to practice until they realized, oh, everyone else has these blank, cheap.
Oh, like the nylon. Yeah.
So like that, as a family that didn't come from playing hockey, who were just kind of trying it out, I looked a little goofy for my first few practices and said, hey, can we get one of these like $5 practice jerseys so I don't look like a doofus out there? So then it just became my jersey to wear to school.
Nice. All right. Great story, Josh. Uh-huh. Thanks for that.
You got it.
All right. Grand finale time. Hunter, your time to shine.
Okay. My What We Learned is don't use ChatGPT to write your wife's birthday card. for this story, we have to go back a week to my niece's first birthday, in which my sister wanted us to write letters to our niece, and then she was going to put them in a time capsule that my niece will then open when she turns 18. And I was struggling to write it. So my wife, Sarah, says, just use ChatGPT, change it up a little bit, and then you're good to go. I'm like, okay, perfect. 5 minutes, done. Awesome. Heartfelt message. This is great. This morning, I get up early, put up a couple of balloons for my wife, and I'm struggling to write the birthday card. So I remember till last Sunday, and I do the same thing. My wife opens up the card, gets two sentences in, and says, this isn't how you talk to me. You used ChatGPT, didn't you? I can't lie to her and admitted it. She was not overly thrilled. So,
rightfully so.
Yep.
Hunter.
She's better now because the flowers got delivered to her office, so we're good now.
Oh, God.
Earlier this morning, it wasn't great.
Got his way out of the doghouse. Hunter, the thing that I find problematic is she should be the easiest person to write a birthday card for. Right, you just got to hit the X's and O's, right? Like, it's just like you're running the offense you always run, right? I love you. I value our time together. You're so inspiring. You're amazing. I don't know what my life would be without you. Like, you just got to hit the basics. It can't be that hard.
But, like, I get too in my head with it, and especially when it's sharing.
Sure.
If it's sharing emotions that aren't, like, joy and anger at Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, I struggle with those. So, writing heartfelt messages, not great. Take me a while. I get two in my head.
I'm pretty sure Russell Wilson did the exact same thing where he Googled how to describe a beautiful woman to make an Instagram post for his wife, Sierra, and someone figured out that he just clicked on the first result of that and then made that the caption.
So I have, in my past, Googled, like, how to start letters and how to...
Sure.
Like, when I'm writing birthday cards, I definitely don't just directly rip it off, but it would be like, here's a flourish to get into the personal things I'm going to write, because I often struggle and, like, well, I don't want it to suck. I don't want it to feel like I just kind of threw something down. I've never directly copy and pasted like Russell Wilson, nor have I used ChatGPT. I would be pretty mad if somebody ChatGPT'd what I thought initially was going to be a heartfelt. I got a very nice thank you letter just yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And it was very clearly that they had written it just themselves. And if it would have been something that was like vague generalities about, hey, you're a great teammate and coworker and we appreciate you, it would have meant a little less.
It's fair.
Yeah.
And it didn't mean a little less.
Not the one, no. Now, Hunter, how are we going to improve next time? Are we still going to use ChatGPT, but change it up enough so it sounds like you?
I thought I changed it up enough already, so clearly I'm not good at this. So I think what I need to do is not buy the card the night before and try to write it that morning at 6 a.m. before she wakes up.
Yes.
And we put a little bit more work into the card writing. I had the flowers ordered like days in advance, got her favorite flowers and that.
Love
like
that?
Yeah, that was fine. It's just, yeah, the card writing, we gotta put a little bit more work in, a little more time in. I gotta grind the tape better, and I'll improve.
Grind the tape, yep.
Here's something I need. This is a little help from the bros on this one. As I mentioned, it's Mussolini's birthday coming up.
Okay.
We are going to Chicago and staying there for a night and doing a bunch of stuff that Meg likes to do in Chicago. We're gonna have some friends out there as well. Is it adequate for me to buy the hotel room and the dinner as a gift? Or do I need to add... I'm going to get a card, obviously.
Can you do flowers, or is she not a flowers girl?
She's fine with them, but we just recently bought... We buy them from the same place. We've worked with the company Flowers for Dreams. We bought some for our parents, and what I run into a lot is it's still Mother's Day oftentimes when I'm going to buy.
Sure.
Like, so most of them are themed Mother's Day. They aren't typically the style of flower she likes. So it puts me in a spot where I'm like, I'm going to be spending probably all told around $500, which to me feels fine, but I also feel like a hard just isn't enough.
Are you guys going to be going somewhere like to stores that are like just kind of like shopping, like Michigan Ave kind of stuff?
Yes. I don't know the plans because she said, I'm not telling you what you want to do because you'll probably be annoyed by the time we're done. So that's fair. I mean, I'm not going to be. It's your birthday. You can do whatever the hell you want. And there's plans to stop at bars, so...
Great, I'm good.
Right, I have a couple brewskis.
Get a liquid courage, we're good. I go to the purse store.
Yeah.
I think you just be prepared to buy something then, and then like that's yeah, just
that's a great
and
point.
On
yeah.
top of it. Yeah. Yep. And you just don't even
that's
question it,
man,
and that's
right
it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a married man right
yeah,
there.
Uh-huh.
All right, good work this week, fellas. Back from the NFL draft. Will is graduating college this weekend. Next Wednesday's Will's Week in Review.
I was thinking maybe Kentucky Derby. Got it going on this weekend, but also
or,
could do NHL.
Or your 4 years in college.
I don't know if I can tell some of those stories.
Well, I think you could do interesting thing with names of classes, names of professors, bars you visited, maybe...
Like a scrapbook?
A voiced out scrapbook.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just an idea.
Yeah, I'll think
you,
on it.
You could, if you want to do the Derby, do the Derby. I think there's some really funny material there.
There's good names in the Derby. But the funny thing about the Derby is not changing the names. It's
yeah, they're
just
already
the
funny.
Names.
They're yeah. already mm-hmm. funny. So we'll see.
I also worry about, what is it, 90 seconds? It's like the fastest 2 minutes is what it is. The
yes.
fastest 2 minutes in sports.
Yep.
I have a feeling you might be short on content. Because a race happens and that's it.
Yeah, that's correct.
No one really knows, like, is
no,
familiar
we'll
with
see.
The...
Now, I
don't know any of the top racers.
I don't either. I don't follow horse racing. I get the honor, though, of working with Will on Sunday morning. He's producing Sunday Karma.
Yes.
I just mentioned he graduates college on Saturday. I really
Hungover
hope he shows
Will.
Up. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll show up. That's not what you got to worry about.
It's Yeah, it's
I'll
just performance
there.
While
yeah.
here.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be on remote.
Sunglasses.
I'll be over the... He'll look ridiculous.
I've done that before.
I'll be over at the MS Walk, get the opportunity to MC that on Sunday at the Summerfest Grounds, and then we'll do it. We're doing Sunday Karma live from the MS Walk at the Summerfest Grounds on Sunday. So if you'll be out there, come say hey. Myself and Brian D will be there. Will be in his cave, probably with the lights off.
Lights off,
so,
yep.
There was a time in Madison, it was after a college game day, that I, for one time of the year, went out to get experience because I was producing them most of the time. Went out, had a big night, had to get up, go to this. I laid on the floor and sent it to break via the floor. I just knew where I needed to go. I stayed there and just fired the brakes, brought it back at the end. And yeah, that was...
I got to admit, I've also been there.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever fired the brake from the floor.
Oh, you got
but
it.
I have certainly laid on
you
the floor.
It.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I put tape where it was so I would know which one.
Oh, that's
I had
smart.
A visual marker.
I just threw my hand up there before the brake to try and find it. Oh, you're a smart
Where's
guy. I should have done that.
Where's my mouse? All right, boys. Good stuff this week. We're back with you Monday beginning at 12:30 Central. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. Of course, the free podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. And, of course, right here on YouTube. Enjoy your weekend. Make decent decisions, especially you, Will. We'll talk to you Monday. Peace.